Hello and welcome to the Brand My Career podcast. I'm your host, Alex Cutterford, and I'm so glad you're joining me today. My goal is to help you take ownership of your career, find your people through personal branding and networking, and take career-enhancing action. Managing your life and career can be hard. That's why every fortnight I'll be releasing an episode where I interview a diverse range of guests that will help you find clarity and build confidence in your career. Let's get into it.
Welcome back to another episode of the Brand My Career podcast. And I'm joined today by Tegan. She is a recruitment manager at Rarekind and really excited to have you on, Tegan.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm super excited too.
Awesome. So I love recruiters. I think recruiters are awesome. It's why half of my connections on LinkedIn are recruiters, because I think you guys just play an awesome role in the world of job seeking and career development and all things employment. I'm really excited to get on and have a chat with you about some of that today. But I wanted to first turn it back on you and have a bit of a chat about your career journey. I think you've got a pretty cool story from what I've seen. So would you want to start with this, giving a bit of an overview of your career journey so far?
Yeah, sure. So I grew up in a small regional town in the Hunter Valley in New South Wales called Aberdeen. It's just outside Muswellbrook, which is a suburb more people know. And my, I guess, career started quite early. I had a few jobs when I was at school as well as studying. I first started out as a receptionist at Lake Glenbourne, and then did a casual checkout chick kind of job as well. And then I was lucky enough to get a traineeship in administration at Bayswater and Liddell Power Stations through AGL. That was a really interesting career opportunity and quite a pivotal one for me as well, because it gave me exposure to a lot of different areas. I was lucky enough to work in a few different teams while I was out there and on some project-based work as well. And it was my first introduction, I guess, to full-time work, but also such an industrial landscape as well. And yeah, I got to work in the white collar space, but I was heavily exposed to the blue collar world as well. So that one was super interesting. And when I finished my traineeship, I was hungry for more opportunities and I wasn't sure what that looked like, but I was brave and ended up moving away just a few hours down the road to Newcastle, where I am now. And I had another great opportunity to work with Telstra on the NBN project. That was really interesting as well. I was doing land access and stakeholder engagement, and that was another administration role. And from there, throughout my time with Telstra and AGL, I was doing study in human resources. That's something that I always had an interest in, and working in those roles, gave me more exposure to what that would look like. So I took some time to do some study outside of work and got certificates and diplomas. And then, when my role with Telstra was looking at wrapping up, I sought a career opportunity in recruitment. Here I am 6 years later. I've worked for a few different agencies now, from big players in the space to a more local brand at the moment who's expanding their footpath across the country, which has been really exciting. And throughout my recruitment career as well, I've started at the bottom, and recently I've been promoted into a management and leadership role, which is super great.
Yeah, awesome. Thinking back, so lots of people often start out as the checkout chick. What would you say is something you learned from that job that's sort of flowed into helping you throughout your career, do you think?
Yeah, I think that one was so important for my career. It was the first real opportunity to get outside of my comfort zone and have that exposure to people. In every single role that I've had since that job, I've had an element of customer service. So that one really set me up with the skills that I needed to go forward in my career.
Yeah. So my wife was just reflecting the other day on when she was the checkout chick at Coles. and remembering when someone was screaming at her for not knowing where the yogurt was. So you probably learned a lot of resilience as well.
Absolutely. It happens to the best of us.
Yeah, yeah. You know, all the important stuff in life that people get angry about, you know. Now, I am just remembering that I was going to start the interview with asking you a question. So we're gonna backtrack a little bit and get to know you a bit more by asking the question, what is one thing that you couldn't live without?
This is a super tricky question. My first thought goes to chocolate, to be honest. Yeah. But I think something that's really important to me is that human interaction. I really struggle without that, and I think that shows with the line of work that I work in.
Yep.
If I was to reflect, you know, COVID was such a tricky time for myself and a lot of others. You know, I was one of the people who was made redundant. I went from, you know, we went into lockdown, but it was more than that. It was a sense of grieving, being around my friends and people that I'd worked with so closely over the course of a few years. And, you know, we're close with our family and we couldn't see our family. Yeah, there was so many challenges. But when I did get back into work in between, you know, the COVID lockdowns, it was learning a new way of work as well, because my role is being in front of people and going to see people that, you know, that's the core function of my role. So to have that stripped back was really challenging in all the different aspects, work and personal life.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, definitely. So you said that, I was like, oh, that is a typical recruiter answer.
Yeah.
people, right?
Yeah, it's all about people, and it's just not all about people when it comes to work for me. It's, every aspect of my life is built around people, and I value those relationships, and I really struggle when I'm separated from people.
We might a little bit later on dig into more about how you sort of adapted work-wise during that period, but my answer to that question when I started my new job and we're all doing that, and mine was whiskey and wings. I didn't go with the deep answer.
Yeah, well, my other answer is also chocolate.
So chocolate and people, I think that's a pretty good answer. So, yeah, going back to your career journey, so what would you, and you've kind of already touched on it there, so I was going to ask what's a challenge you've maybe faced through your career?
Yeah, I think that the whole COVID thing was such a shake-up for me. Yeah, I really struggled with just that separation, I think. I was lucky enough to work in teams throughout COVID, from the job I went from, that I was made redundant in, to the job I went to. Both were really great teams. So, you know, we were all in it together. In terms of another challenge, I think that moving away at the start of my career was a big one for me. I didn't really know what to expect or necessarily what to do. I was kind of just finding my feet, and at a really young age as well. I was fresh 18, so I didn't have those, I guess, core life skills behind me. So that was really challenging. And even the exposure when it comes to doing interviews for the jobs and stuff, without a detailed resume for some of the jobs I was going to, I wasn't the strongest candidate. And there was the elements of rejection as well, which you know, I always thought would happen, but it was a tricky one to navigate as well.
And what would you say are some of the lessons you learned from that, from leaving home and sort of having to sort of go out on your own and take it on for yourself?
I think the resilience piece was a big one. And just appreciating that it wasn't meant to be at the time, and just to have some faith in myself going for these roles. You know, you read an advertisement and it looks good and you think you can do that, but I had to back myself and really show, talk to my strengths and what I could do and what I think I could value, because that was what could have set me apart to get these jobs that I needed, because I'd packed up, I'd moved away, and I really needed to be able to back myself to go forth with those risky
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I left home at 16 and moved away for my apprenticeship to Canberra from Bathurst. And I am just lucky that I had the footy club that I joined sort of teed me up a job. Like, I shudder to think if I was out on my own trying to job search. At that younger age, I actually I had the unique opportunity with that. I didn't realize at the time. So the club organised to line me up an interview, and they said they'll get someone to take me from the club that had teed it up. So I've met him at the footy club. He's picked me up. We're driving over, and he's telling me, now, work's your priority. And I'm like, and he's like, no, forget about footy. Work's your priority, okay? So he's coaching me in the car as we drive over. And then we go to the interview, and he came in as well and sort of met with my to-be boss and stuff and helped me sort of ask some questions and stuff. And so we're chatting away, yeah, had the interview, drove back, didn't think much of it, got the job. I was like, awesome. And then it was as I was going through my apprenticeship so we were doing the kitchen installations for some of the big high-rises in Canberra and stuff. So we had the contracts with those big developments. And then I'm out at one of these developments, and the guy that is the boss of these developments was the guy that took me to the interviews. So essentially it was my boss's boss was at the interview with me. So I was like, all right, I was never not getting that.
Yeah. Bit of a full circle moment.
So if you ever need like a tell me you're privileged without saying you're privileged, like that was it.
I love that.
Yeah, so yeah, I just got lucky. Really, really good lessons. I think any ways that you can be learning resilience, and the earlier you learn resilience, the better, I think.
Absolutely.
And clearly it's paid off because one of your achievements is that you were, let me get this right. So Future Leader of the Year, 2023 for HunterNet.
Yeah.
So
cool.
Do you want to talk a little bit about the leaders program that they ran last year?
Yeah, absolutely. HunterNet is an organisation in Newcastle that connects industry together, and they do such a good job. They host like lots of networking events, and you know, it's a great space to make the connections and share knowledge in the local area. And they have a division called Future Leaders Program. And I was lucky enough to be a part of that last year. And the program went for the majority of the year. I think it was 9 months. And over the course of the program, we did sessions on a weekly basis with a guest speaker for a couple of hours on a Thursday night. And that covered off a lot of topics from authentic leadership to emotional intelligence. You know, the speakers were fantastic. They all delivered their knowledge in different ways, and the stuff that they shared with us was certainly just really valuable for me to take forward into my role, especially during that time. I was lucky enough to get my promotion into a leadership role, so very relevant what I was learning. And once we concluded with those knowledge sharing sessions, we were then put into a group for a group project. And, you know, they based our groups off of one of the sessions that we did was like personality type testing. And then once they got all the results for all the participants, they, popped us into groups. And then we went forth and did our group assessment. You know, there was elements of, you know, time constraints, and we certainly felt the pressure working outside of our comfort zones. Our project was definitely a tricky one. We had to pick one of the 7 CSIRO megatrends, mm-hmm. and one of the HunterNet member organisations, and act as a consultancy to, consult them on how they can go forth and navigate certain challenges that may arise as a result of the megatrend that we picked. So there was a lot of, learning what the megatrends were, getting to understand the member organisation and each other as team members. And, you know, that in itself was valuable because we were different personality types and we hadn't worked with each other before. And I think that experience was quite valuable as well, because you do have to learn to work with others that you don't know when it comes to the working world. And then, yeah, I was just super lucky that the year group that we had, we were 25 strong, and every single person in that group was just, yeah, a wonderful person, really great to get to know, and we became quite close as a cohort, and we still keep in touch to this day. Yeah, with the project, there was two elements. We had to do a written report, and then we also had to do a presentation to a judging panel. So, yeah, definitely got us out of our comfort zones, and I'm, yeah, super grateful for that program. I'm moving forward joining the committee to continue being a part of it, because I believe that it, yeah, is really valuable, and I learnt so much. I took away, yeah, relationships and knowledge and all of the good things, and I was lucky enough to win an award as well, which was really nice. Yeah.
And so, not to make you feel like you're boasting about yourself, but what do you think it was that made you stand out to receive that award?
Yeah, I was surprised when I got the award. I was like, they were saying why the recipient won the award, and it came down to relationship piece. There was a moment where I had reached out to the team wishing everyone good luck with their presentations, and, you know, not thinking anything of it. We'd all grown close, like I said, and put in such great work. And even though it was a competition at the end of the day, I really did just want to wish everyone luck, because we were all feeling the pressure. And, yeah, I think I did grow quite close to a lot of people in the group, and really did give it my all. I was there to learn as much as I could and get as much out of that opportunity as I could. And, yeah, I guess that showed at the end.
Yeah, that's awesome. And just highlights the power of being authentic when you just genuinely are just wishing people well. You know, it's not some strategic thing to get ahead and stand out. It's just authentically caring about people is a really powerful thing. Keen to move into some recruitment questions now, Tegan. So I wanted to start off with, what would a typical recruitment process look like?
Yeah, sure. I guess it's specific to, they can all be different. So it very much comes down to the organization and the role and things like that. I have always worked in agency recruitment models. So there might be an extra step or two there when it comes to agency versus internal recruitment. But our process is, you know, you would apply for your job, or we could be proactive and look at sourcing you for a role. And then we would go through a registration process where you complete some paperwork. Sorry, I've missed a step there. So typically we would do a phone screen as well. Yeah, just to ask a few questions, make that first introduction, and then bring you in and have an interview, whether that be on Teams or in person. Yeah, and then from there we would send details to the client and see if they want to catch up or how they would want to go forward. I work in a blue collar recruitment team, so we have a few extra steps as well when it comes to compliance testing. So we do, you know, functionals and drug and alcohol testing and audiometry testing. So there's plenty of steps in there for both the recruiter and the candidate.
So if someone was going to get reached out to directly by you before they've applied for a role, how would you go about that? How would you find someone that sort of stood out to you to reach out to?
Yeah, sure. So we have access to a few different sourcing platforms. The most common one that a lot of recruiters use is Seek. So we can go in the back of Seek and do specific searches based off of skill set and locations and things like that, that really help us find what the client is looking for. And we can see resume details and things like that. And we would just pick up a phone and have a conversation, engaged if the person is interested or not.
Yeah. So that would probably highlight that it's important for someone to be putting their details into their Seek profile and putting their resume on there and having that available and all of that, obviously.
Absolutely. And I think if you are actively searching for a role, You really should have your resume all up to date with your most current employer and the functions that you were completing in that role, because it really can give you a leg up with making the right connections as well, not just for the role, but even if you're not looking for a role actively, but you think you might down the track, it could create a pathway for creating a relationship with a recruiter who might be, you know, sourcing your ideal role at the time that you may actively be looking.
That's actually how my wife got her job when we moved to Newcastle. So she applied for a role that was advertised on Seek, but then she actually had a recruiter come to her about another role, and she actually ended up taking that role. So it does work, and I think it's a really good way of recruiting. And but this highlights that you've got to have put yourself out there and made yourself available and all of that. We'll get into some of the good things people can be doing, but I was keen to hear, what are some of the red flags that you get from job seekers? So what are the things that might someone do throughout that process that might become a red flag for them?
Yeah, I think the main one is how you present yourself. You know, attitude is everything when it comes to an interview. So you really want to put yourself in the best possible position when you are meeting a recruiter. And yeah, if it is a role that you really do want, you would want to put your best effort into the interview. That's probably a big one for me, because I do see some people come in, and I know nerves can play a part in that. That's something that we're always conscious of, but where there's distractions and things like that, it could be the difference of someone presenting themselves really well, and you know, that extra enthusiasm asking the questions versus someone who's looking around and fiddling and being on their phone. You can't be on a phone all the time in the workplace, so you wouldn't want to be doing that in an interview as well.
That's definitely one that when I was working with young people, supporting them to get into employment, there's always, do not get the phone out. Cool. So you touched on questions there. What would you say are some really good questions that someone could be asking in an interview process?
Yeah, that's a great one. Interviews, I read a LinkedIn post about this recently. Interviews are a two-way street. So you're not just going in there as a candidate expecting to be asked all the questions about yourself. It really is an opportunity for you to go in there and find out about the organization. And I would encourage anyone going for an interview to, use that opportunity to get to know the company. What are their values? You know, what does an ideal worker look like? Or what does success look like in that role? Because that's a good way for the organization to see that you're driven, you're motivated, and you're interested in making sure there's alignment there with the values as well.
Yeah. Are there any questions that you would recommend people don't ask?
Oh, that's a good one too. Not necessarily. I think it's whatever question you ask, it's obviously important to you. And I would just encourage people to consider whether that interview point is the right time to ask that specific question.
Yeah, the timing is good, because the one that often for me in coaching people was, don't make your first question how much will I get paid, because it was like, well, one, that's this kind of like a sort of go nowhere question, and doesn't actually get you any real valuable information. One, because you can probably find how much you're going to get paid online. And two, it's sort of like, well, you just want to be digging in to learn more about the role first before you're making them think that that's the only thing you care about is the bottom line paycheck. Absolutely. Which you can ask that once they, either offer you a job or later on in the process, rather than just making it the first thing you ask.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that question does serve a purpose, but the timing piece is everything.
In terms of, so say someone's in an interview, they're asking questions, what might be some things that would indicate to them red flags from the other end for a business? What do you think could be some of the things that they're hearing back that maybe help someone understand, oh, they might not really be the right fit for me?
Yeah, I think something that has popped up in a recent conversation that I've had with someone is around the tenure of people who have left the organisation and how many people have left the organisation and what the reasons for that might have been. If you're someone who is looking for a role and you want to see your career out with this particular organisation, someone or a team, if they only typically stay in that team or role for a short period of time, that might be a red flag for someone who is wanting a long-term career opportunity with them. And the same with people who have been in that one role for a very long time as well. If the person's looking at moving into the same role, but they want that career progression, that could be something that might be a red flag. But I think both of those examples are great conversations to ask more questions about. You can really dig into that. Maybe the person who's been in that role for a very long time wants to stay in that role and there's not that progression there for them because they don't want it. So without digging a bit deeper, you don't really know either, do you?
Yeah. What would be your advice to someone that's wanting to sort of ask those questions and dig into a bit? Like, is there a way that you think is best to go about asking those questions that sort of doesn't feel like you're interrogating or going to be a difficult person? Because people will probably hold back from asking those questions because they don't want to come across as like argumentative or challenging sort of personalities. Like, is there tips or ways that someone could approach that in a really positive way?
Yeah, my biggest tip would be, especially if you're going through like a recruiter, have the conversation with them in the first instance, because if they're recruiting a role for their client, they'll know about their business, they'll have formed a relationship with the company and the hiring manager, and they'll know more about their personality and how they might perceive those questions at the time of the interview, mock interview process, or use the network to see what the best way forward might be, and they can give you some more specific tips and tricks based on their contact there.
Yeah, that's really good. And then how would someone stand out in a process? What are some of the things that really take someone from being like, oh yeah, like they've ticked the boxes, to someone that's sort of like, oh, you're really like, I really want to get this person in because this is a really good candidate?
Yeah, sure. For myself, when I've been in interviews, people who have stood out to me are people who come in to the interview process prepared. They've done their research. They know about the company. They might have gone on LinkedIn and had a look at people who work in the organization, so they've got names there that they can reference to and their career history within the organization relevant to the role company. I think those are really good points, and the attitude piece as well. If you come in, if you're, you know, you may still be nervous, but you're confident enough to back yourself and share specific examples to the questions that the interviewer is asking, I think they're all really great ways to help give you a leg up to stand out in that process.
So really being able to, one, you've shown the initiative of researching and getting proactive about understanding the company, so that you can sort of demonstrate why you're applying for that job, and then being able to really engage and have good conversation and being able to demonstrate what you would be bringing to the role through, you know, stories of experiences and things like that.
Yeah, spot on.
Yeah, awesome. Very good. Is there anything else that you would say to someone? Maybe, or what's some encouragement you'd give to someone that's out there right now sort of applying for jobs? Maybe they've, you know, had a few applications that they've haven't gotten through to getting the job. What would you say to someone that's in that position right now?
Yeah, for someone in that position, if they are applying for a few jobs and they haven't been successful, I think it's always great to reach out and see if you can get some feedback as to why, because, you know, you could walk away from that or get the rejection email and go, oh, you know, I thought I was great for that role. I don't understand. And what if and what could I have done better? They all go unanswered unless you have the conversation with someone. Some people can get quite busy, but without it trying, you're just left in that unknown. And it could, the information you can get from those conversations could set you up for success in your next interview or your next application. It could just mean a tweak to the resume or, the difference of a few questions in that interview process. And you may find they could have used experience, you just don't know. So I would definitely recommend seeing if you can get some feedback.
Absolutely. I remember, so it was a number of years back and in between different roles, and so I was just looking for some part-time work in between and stuff and just getting some extra money, and I was like applying for different places, and I applied for Audi and got rejected by Audi, and I was like, I've got a trade qualification. I've got all this experience. How did I not get through? But what I'm pretty confident on is that I had color and stuff in my resume, and I'm pretty sure that they would have been using some sort of AI tool that would have been screening. And there's different ways that you can write your resume that's going to be more optimized for bots that are the scanning a resume. Yeah. And so I'm like, I'm pretty sure it just didn't even make the list because it probably couldn't even interpret what I had on my resume and stuff. And so, but it's like, you can take it really personally. But if you don't understand the different things at play, it might have just been a totally different reason, or there might be some really good learnings in there for you. Yeah. So I definitely agree with that, that any feedback that you can get is really powerful just for your own growth and for hopefully getting into the next application. So how could people get in touch with you, Tegan, if they wanted to find out more about what you do, or maybe it's someone that is looking for work and things like that?
Yeah, I would definitely recommend reaching out on LinkedIn. I'm quite active on there, and that's how we connected. So yeah, my details are up to date, and I welcome anyone to reach out and drop me a DM or something. I believe my phone number's on there too. Wanted to pick up and have a chat over the phone. And if anyone's local to Newcastle, I'm always up for a coffee too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I can vouch that Tegan is very friendly. Thanks so much for joining me today. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And let's connect on LinkedIn so that we can keep the conversation going. Or head to my website and download my free resource, The Career Building Principles. Bye for now.